I'm going to read from Mark 9, verse 17. And one of the crowd answered Jesus, "Teacher, I brought you my son, possessed with a spirit which makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it slams him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and stiffens out. I told your disciples to cast it out, and they could not do it." And Jesus answered them and said, "O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to Jesus. When he saw Jesus, immediately the spirit threw him into a convulsion, and falling to the ground, he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And the father said, "From childhood, it has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." And Jesus said to the father, "If you can, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately, the boy's father cried out and said, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." I love this man's cry, his plea, his prayer. "I do believe. Help my unbelief." Can you imagine this earthly father's daily life with a demon-possessed child? Can you imagine how remote and angry and disappointed with God he felt? I love his desperate cry for help to believe. His heart-wrenching plea for help to believe that Jesus could heal his son is a cry to help to turn from the cynics in the crowd towards belief. This is the cry of my heart. I struggle with unbelief. I struggle with trusting God that he can and will answer the deep cries for my life. Even worse and even deeper, I struggle with trusting that my father, when I ask for a fish, won't see fit to give me a stone or a serpent. I struggle trusting that the Lord loves me. I, just like this desperate dad of a demon-possessed son, cry out in my need, "I believe, but please help my unbelief. Help me believe that you are God. Help me believe that you are good. And help me believe that you are able to do the impossible." I'd like to share three stories about me in prayer. We were packing up 5 years of our lives, leaving the continent where I had lived for 17 years of my life to return to a country I had not been raised in and a culture I did not really understand. I was scared. I had only mothered in one place, and now I was supposed to mother in a place where everyone seemed to have the perfect home, the perfect haircut, the perfect meal plan, and the perfectly shod children. And a place where I would no longer have a half a dozen people interrupting my routine to stop and drink chai and have a chat. I felt lonely even thinking about that. To make matters worse, we had no home to move to and little money to pay for rent. I was afraid, not afraid that the Lord wouldn't supply. I was afraid that the Lord would supply a stone, not bread, not anything beautiful or extravagant, but just below par, not even adequate. I cried out to the Lord in my unbelief. I was sitting on my bedroom floor after reading an email that made my heart just sink to my shoes. It spelled out my worst fears, explaining a housing option that would mean there was no windows and little light. I could barely talk to God. I could barely speak, and I just cried and cried. I felt the controlling spirit within me that wanted to make my own destiny rear its ugly head. And then I felt it calm and subdue, and the Lord gave me grace to believe that he was God and that he is good, and to trust his promises of love. I humbly emailed that this would not be my first choice, but I was willing to live there. Later, I walked into a home that I did not have to lift a finger in. A home that was full of light, beautiful decorating, and every kitchen tool I could even dream of. I did not have to go buy toilet paper for months, and I am still using, a year and a half later, cleaning supplies that were provided for me. That might be a bad reflection of my mom. I remember after the kids went to bed in their own beds, in their own room, perfect for them, after 2 months of camping out on different floors, they just slept. They were totally enamored with their room, and I wept again. My father had answered the pleas of my heart, spoken with very little faith, without eloquence, and with little belief, and supplied a mansion. God is God, and when the cynics of this world rise up and tell me to make my own destiny, it would happen anyways, or be the answer to my own prayer, I need to fight for the truth that God is my Father in heaven, and hallowed is his name. He and he alone is the one in control. Oh Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. We were in Chicago last weekend. As we passed a farmer's market, we were watching dozens of women walking to their cars or riding their bicycles with their large sunflowers. And my ugly, sinful soul rose up in a desire to be recognized and blessed by my husband. My mind started down an ugly path of comparison, bitterness, and hurt against my beloved husband, my brother in Christ. By God's kindness, I turned in prayer to the Lord. This is not always my MO. I shut the door on that idol of being valued and walked through the door of lifting the issue in prayer. I cried out to the Father for help to change my heart thoughts and to not harangue my husband or to hint manipulatively. I felt God's work in my heart. It was a real warm conversation with my Father, a victory. As a side note, I said a very childlike prayer. I really like flowers. I want some. Help me be content. And he did. And by his grace, my heart was content, totally, and completely forgot. When we arrived home, there was a little note on our door. A flower company had missed me, not my family, me. For the first time in my life, a flower company was delivering me flowers. Say what? They were flowers from the Father to me. Our prayers build our faith. That doesn't happen every time, just so you know, but that doesn't mean I'd be cynical. Our prayers build our faith. They enable us to turn in thanksgiving and joy and awe to our Father. God is good. And whether we're sitting up with our little baby in the small hours of the night shouting, help, 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 in our minds, because we don't want to wake him up, or we're battling it out in prayer on the streets of Chicago, or in the loneliness of loss, or in the dark despair of great disappointment, whatever our season, God hears, God sees, and God our Father is good. And when we struggle to believe that fact, we can cry out, I believe, help my unbelief. Lastly, I had to enter a line to go through a narrow checkpoint between two police officers in a country where it's illegal to share about Jesus with a Bible in my backpack for a special Muslim friend who's growing to know Jesus. The police were checking each person carefully, so I prayed to be invisible. It was not a thought-out prayer or a challenge. It was just a desperate prayer of need by a child of God, kind of like my daughter. Mom, can I have a popsicle? Mom, can we go to Africa and see a lion? I asked in need, and the Lord did the impossible. In a world where so much is possible and available and easy at our fingertips, we just don't need God too much. I tend to forget to pray those impossible prayers, those crazy, wild prayers, because I'm afraid of the cynics when God doesn't answer the way I thought he should. I get afraid of my own cynical heart. I also just get plain forgetful. I don't think I need Jesus standing in front of my sink washing just dishes, but I do need Jesus. Oh, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Come do the impossible in my mundane. A little while ago in my life, I entered a season of deep disappointment, a constant hurt, just seeping into the fiber of my being. I had a suffering, a burden, a huge need in my life. I was sick with great sorrow. This was a constant wound festering. Suffering brought the cynical me out into the light, and I had two bad choices. One, to sit on my sorrow like a massive dragon on its treasure, saying, mine, 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 wallowing. Or I could take the hurt and with a bitter and angry tongue run out to others and dump all the pain of my soul on them. Because of Jesus' death on the cross and his purchase of my spiritual identity as a daughter of the King, I have another option, to run to the Lamb in prayer. Instead of choosing bitterness or gossip, I'm growing in trusting that those who sow in tears shall reap with great joy. It says in the Bible, she who goes to and fro weeping, carrying her bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing her sheaves with her, her harvest. I want to take the seeds of what God is showing me and in wisdom plant them up and down the rows of my life in prayer and tears. I believe that the planting in this verse is running to God my Father with my disappointment and my struggle and my suffering instead of sitting bitter or running out in the field and digging my own hole in somebody else's life and dumping it all in that place where there's no harvest. I want to be day in and day out in prayer planting seeds of faith so that like my Savior on the cross, I can believe God's goodness in the darkest valley, focused not on the darkness around me, but on my good shepherd. I'm not just stoically toughing it out. I am planting in tears. I desire, I need to do the hard work of daily for this year, next year, maybe the next 30 years, sowing in tears, praying, trusting that my Father, our Father,
the great creator, he is God. He is good, and that he is able to do the impossible. He hears, he sees, he answers, and he alone is God. And when the cynicism, my sinful anger, unbelief, ingratitude, busyness, you name it, rise up in my soul, I cry out, I believe. Help my unbelief.